The ESPN Football Today podcast is brought to you by New Dove Men Plus Care, a range of body and face washes for comfortable skin, for skin as comfortable as you are.
This is ESPN. From Scouts Inc. Here's Jeremy Green.
Hello, and welcome to the Hump Day Wednesday edition of ESPN Football Day. It's a good sign. I can get that out. Presented by Dove. I'm your host, Jeremy Green, Pod Vader, on the other side of the glass. I got to tell you, Pod Vader, my Facebook is blowing up because fans can't wait for our interview today, for our guest today.
I'm going to say this about that.
He's got more drops than anybody else. I think there's what?
He does.
Four?
I have four drops from Mike Singletary.
Four drops. And looking to see if I can goad him into a fifth today here at ESPN Football Today. Mike Singletary will be joining us a little bit later. But before we get to that, let's get to the Quick Slants.
Quick Slants.
Yesterday was media day, Jeremy, and I got to tell you, maybe it's because they moved it indoors. There weren't any real standout sound bites from yesterday.
Well,
Chad Ochocinco was walking around doing the OCNN, the Ochocinco.
Media day's gotten
network.
A little overrated, though, don't you think, over the last couple years?
Maybe, but you can still find like one or two good sound bites. There was one by Roman Harper saying that the family can be the most distracting thing here. You got to get rid of the family.
Doling out tickets to the family. Family wants to know, when am I getting my Super Bowl ticket in my hand?
There was another one. There was a Colts player who's like, there's only two things I fear: alligators and crocodiles.
Alligators and crocodiles.
I was like, hey.
But nothing else good.
But yeah, there really wasn't anything that really stood out. So
no proposals.
Not that I know of.
No proposals this year?
No.
All right.
No. Very, very disappointing media day.
All right.
Two
very quiet football teams, though, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, these teams don't talk a lot. They just kind of go out and do what they do.
I went through and listened to the sound bites just to find something, maybe, to play, and it's all the same. Yeah, they're a good team. We got our hands full. They're gonna answer us back. Wasn't anything really, you know, there's no bulletin board material.
No, I can't really. I'm trying to find a trash talker on either one of these teams. And
they're all business.
All business.
They're all business right now. Speaking of business, Indianapolis Colts All-Pro defensive end Dwight Freeney is in pain but still hopes to play in Sunday's Super Bowl against New Orleans Saints. Freeney tore a ligament in his right ankle in the AFC Championship game. He said at Tuesday's media day that it's, quote, very discouraging that he can't practice. He says a decision on his playing status won't come until the end of the week, but chances of him practicing are not good. He showed up to media day in flip-flops.
You know where I'm going with this. Let me hear a little Allen Iverson.
Practice?
One more time.
Practice?
Talking about practice. I know he's discouraged he can't practice, but we're talking about practice. I mean, right now, practice leading up to the Super Bowl is no pads. It's more mental than it is physical. I mean, there's not a lot of hitting going on. Yeah, I understand he wants to be out there with his teammates. I get that. But bottom line is, it's all about getting Dwight Freeney healthy for Sunday. If he doesn't step on the field and practice, I'm pretty sure Jim Caldwell, if he can go on Sunday, he's not going to be like, yo, man, you didn't practice all week. You can't go. I mean, if he can strap it up and play on Sunday, give him 15 to 20 pass rushes, he'll definitely play. I think it's good that he's discouraged that he's not practicing with this football team. But right now, rest the right thing for Dwight Freeney.
Another thing, I was watching the NFL Network coverage of Media Day since they were right there in Media Day. And Warren Sapp seems to think that because he showed up in flip-flops, didn't have it in a wrap or compressed or ice or anything like that, elevated, that it means he will not play on Sunday, whereas Deion Sanders said he's playing on Sunday.
I don't know.
Do you think you could take anything from the way he showed up without a boot?
No.
Flip-flops?
No. I don't think so, or not having it wrapped. I don't know that means anything one way or the other, necessarily, because I don't think with that injury you'd have it in a boot, necessarily. I don't take that to mean one way or the other. I know this, it's only Wednesday.
Right.
And there's a lot of treatment days and a lot of treatments he can get between now and Sunday.
Staying with the Colts, their owner, Jim Irsay, said he is pursuing a contract extension for quarterback Peyton Manning that he expects will make the four-time MVP the richest player in the NFL. Quote, we know Peyton's going to be the highest paid player in the league. It's something that'll get done. We'll be talking in the offseason.
Wow. Another new deal.
I imagine his I don't know when his contract is up. I know Brady's is up after next year.
Well, I think Peyton might actually have a few years left on his deal, but actually by doing a new deal with him would actually free up some cap space because they can turn what are pretty big base salaries into signing bonus. So we've talked about signing bonus and base salaries. You can turn a lot of that into signing bonus. That clears up cap space. The one good thing I think if you look at the Colts roster, and Matt and I broke down the rosters 1 through 106. I said this. I don't know that there's a team with worse back-end depth than the Colts because all their money is tied up in a limited amount of players. But the good thing for this team is they've drafted really well.
Right.
Jacoby Lacy, Antoine Bethea, Pierre Garçon, Austin Colley. They've drafted so good and so effectively that guys that are producing right now for them are on the first year of their deal, or they've got veteran guys eating up all the money like Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis. So you've got some guys eating up all the cash, and you've got a lot of young players. So I think this team is in position to say that, look, there aren't going to be cap ramifications that are going to prevent the Colts over the next couple years from being a contender in those seasons.
You know, speaking of that, I'd be interested to know what the rules will be as we go into this uncapped season. Let's say, I mean, we all expect Daniel Snyder is going to open up the pocketbook. Let's say he goes out and spends like crazy, and then they do get a new deal done for 2011. That includes a salary cap. What will happen when Dan Snyder will be way over the
Great
salary
call.
Cap? I'm going to be interested to see how that plays out.
As far as I thought we were on the same page that if there's an uncapped year, there will never be...
Well, no, I would assume that there will never be one again either. But if that happens, they've ruined the game, and then football dies or goes the way of baseball
in
5 years.
Yeah.
Would it take that long? How long would it take for us to finally go, all right, this stinks? Redskins and the Cowboys and the Patriots. No, the Patriots won't spend.
You know it would be like baseball, though, in terms of there would always be that team or those teams that could sneak in. Make a little noise. I mean, Daniel Snyder's been spending money, and the Redskins aren't very good.
Well, that said, you're never going to see the Bills compete. You're never going to see.
I'm just saying,
let's pick teams.
If you look like the Arizona Cardinals aren't a team that's always like going to be at the top of the cap. They were there last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Washington Redskins have spent money. That really hasn't been working for them. How's Albert Haynesworth working out for you right now? I mean, that really didn't work well, and hasn't worked well for this football team.
Very well. Last thing, Indianapolis schools to be closed, we'll have a 2-hour delay on Monday, whether the Colts win or lose, which is another interesting way to go around this Super Bowl Sunday thing. Apparently, last time when Indy won the Super Bowl, there were kids left at the bus stop because bus drivers didn't report to work.
So we're just going to put the 2-hour delay.
So we're
going to
put
right
a 2-hour delay and hope that fixed the problem.
Southington, Connecticut's in a 90-minute delay today as well. So
yeah, because there's a half inch of snow.
Half an inch.
Lovely half inch of snow
yeah,
on the ground. Close the school. Man, when I was a kid, I was barefoot walking 10 miles.
Oh,
in the
stop
snow.
It.
Quick slants.
That's what I think is funny. My grandparents used to say that all the time. Now, as a parent, I get to say, half an inch? We're going to school. There are no 90-minute delays.
We're exaggerating the bad story that our parents used to tell us and making it 10 times worse.
Anyway, Texans coach Gary Kubiak has agreed to a new 3-year contract that begins this year and runs through 2012. So rather than sign an extension through 2013, they're ripping up the old contract, giving him a new one.
So basically, And I said I thought they should put 1 year on his deal so he wasn't lame duck. They've put two.
Correct.
Essentially, yes, 2 years. So, again, I think Gary Kubiak's the right guy for the job. I do. They're close. So I don't think tearing it all down and starting from scratch is the right way to go. I'm glad Gary Kubiak's coming back, but this team, even though this team's underachieved, because I do think that this team is close. And I guess I would have done a 1-year extension. They did a 2. I mean, it's apples and oranges at this point.
Quick Slants.
Michael Vick repeats he wants to be a starter next year.
Well,
it's not going to happen in Philly.
Not going to happen in Philly. I can't find a team. I still can't find a team, and I didn't see him play enough quarterback, and I don't think teams saw him play enough at the quarterback position, although when he played out of some of those Wildcat sets, he was pretty effective. Threw a couple touchdown passes, looked pretty good, but I don't know that anybody saw him enough to say, look, you're our starting quarterback.
What do you think the Philadelphia Eagles could get from Michael Vick right now? Could they get anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I don't know that he has trade value. Keep in mind, when he was a free agent, how many teams were willing to take a risk? Or take the chance? I think there's some teams that would just, there's a number of teams that would just say, I'm not signing him, period, because of the stuff that happened before. So you've already limited your pool. Then you have however many teams out of that's left. Some of them already have starting quarterbacks. So the pool for Michael Vick is pretty small.
Well, I think you'd have to look at the team of the pool of teams that need quarterbacks. I saw something from, I think, Adam Schefter saying the entire NFC West isn't settled at quarterback right now.
I would agree with that. There's no question about that. But those teams also had an were unsettled at quarterback and had a chance to get him previous to him going to Philadelphia.
That's true. All right.
Quick slants.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh, I know a drop's coming.
Bengals linebacker Ray Maluga pleads guilty to DUI, gets 2 years probation.
Attention NFL players, please pass the keys. Don't drink and drive.
Clearly does not listen to this podcast.
Clearly doesn't listen to the podcast. And on a good note, this might be the first DUI in Cincinnati in over a year. they've
That's
cleaned
true.
It up. They have
the
cleaned it up.
Have been good.
I mean, they've been much better. Again, I think, you know, for a guy like Ray Maluga, who's a very high character guy, I think this will come as a wake up call to him. I think he'll take this seriously. He's a great character guy. He had great character at USC. He's a good kid. I think he'll learn from this.
How long does the principal give him? Is that a two game? Is that a two gamer?
1 to 2 games, probably.
Quick slants.
Former Bills coach Dick Geron joins the Eagles as their defensive back coach.
I like that. I think that's a pretty good one.
Former head coach is a defensive back coach. That's a long fall.
That's a long fall, but a good get, I think. Because remember, this is a team that had Jim Johnson in place as their defensive coordinator, and he passed away. They went in staff. They get a guy on staff. It's kind of like when Dom Capers was in New England. To get a guy that has that kind of defensive background, and you can call him your defensive backs coach, man, that's going to lend a lot to your defensive backs, but it's also going to lend a lot to the overall defense in terms of meetings and things like that where they're discussing defensive principles and where this team wants to go defensively. I think Dick Geron, a great hire by the Philadelphia Eagles. Come on! Don't be the party host that forgets to have a Super Bowl squares board. Mike and Mike make it easy for you with their Sunday Squares app that builds the board for you. All you have to do is provide the guests. Log on to ESPNradio.com and click on the Mike and Mike page to fill out your squares today.
You going to have squares?
No squares.
No squares for you?
No squares.
Interesting.
The Saints. The Colts.
Pod, you were really fired up about the tail of the tape today, were you?
Oh, yeah.
No, you said you're fired up. You know, again, we had tail of the tape today. It's going to be the tight end position. I think both tight ends are pretty important to this game. Let's start with Jeremy Shockey. A little bit banged up, has had some time to rest, going to come in probably not at 100%. Dwight Freeney actually not playing, though, helps him in this football game. The Colts are a cover two team. The seam is the attack point. Jeremy Shockey runs a nice seam route, and Drew Brees throws a nice seam route. He has to be a factor in the passing game. Thought about making him my X factor. Going to probably go in a different direction. But look, he's not going to have to stand in chip. He's not going to have to stand in block if Dwight Freeney isn't a factor in this football game. That lends itself to helping, I think, this Saints offense. I think they can move him around more. They don't have to play him on the line of scrimmage. He can be more versatile. He's one of the better run blockers in National Football League. I think the run games are going to be a huge factor. I like Jeremy Shockey in the run game against the Colts' smaller defensive ends. But ultimately, I gave the edge to Dallas Clark. I mean, he gets a lot of hype, but you hear about Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez.
You sound like you were torn with that. Was it really that close?
No, I didn't think it was that. I didn't think it was that close. I mean, again, I think Jeremy Shockey has a chance to be a bigger factor in this game, or needs to be a bigger factor because of the cover two defense. But if you look at the fact of Dallas Clark, more man-to-man matchups, the Colts are going to move him all over the field as well. And often, he's probably going to be the hot read for quarterback Peyton Manning under immense blitz pressure. So three-step, we're going to see the ball come out quick to Dallas Clark. He's going to probably align in the backfield. He'll play on both sides of the line of scrimmage. He's going to play in the slot. They'll move him all over the place. They'll get favorable matchups because they're man-to-man matchups. If you look at Dallas Clark was a little bit quiet last week in that football game. Him and Reggie Wayne have both been kind of quiet in the postseason. They've been getting a lot of production from other places, but I think Dallas Clark has a chance to also have a big game, even though I'm not going to make him my X factor. Why would you say is it not that close?
It's really not that close. Dallas Clark is, I think, if not the greatest tight end in the game right now, he's one of.
All right, we were reaching with this one a little bit. Advantage Dallas Clark.
Jeremy Shockey is hurt like every other day.
Advantage Dallas Clark. All right.
Although, if you're going to talk tight ends, I do like David Thomas as a backup in New Orleans. I think he's a guy that could have one of those surprising games. I'm not saying he's going to. I'm not saying he's a major part of the game plan. I'm just saying he's like a guy that could surprise.
This is like the Chris Baker thing. I'm passing on that.
Expanding the topics with a wide open field. Go deep.
But now I'd like to welcome in Coach Mike Singletary of the San Francisco 49ers. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I tell you what, I tell everybody on this podcast that we're going to get you here because we want some of these.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
There you go. We want winners on this podcast.
Okay.
So Coach joins us today. Coach, I know you're down in Miami. What are you working on right now?
Well, right now, just kind of going around today and doing several radio programs in terms of the Boost, boostmobile.com /shuffle. So that's been a good thing to do, and that's going to be one of the shots on the Super Bowl. And, you know, it should be a 30-second shot there, but you can go to boostmobile.com/shuffle and see the whole thing. Just kind of having some fun doing that.
And it's going to be a remake of the 1985 shuffle.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that time when you made that video and that Chicago Bears football team.
You know what? It was crazy. I don't think we had an idea of how big it was going to be or really how big that team was going to be. It was just one of those things that came along at the right time and it was a lot of fun for our guys to do and really to kind of get together and do a little remake of it was fun. And just any time you can get together with those guys, it's going to be a good time.
Coach, I know you're down there at the Super Bowl. Your San Francisco 49ers didn't make it, obviously, but that's what everybody plays for, obviously, to get to the big game. Assess where you guys are now and this past season.
Well, I think, you know, this past season, we did a good job of really solidifying, the foundation of what it is that we want to accomplish. And I think, a couple of players, on both sides of the ball, you know, we gotta get a little better this off season. And come next year, I think we have a good opportunity of taking a step forward.
You might talk a little bit about the quarterback situation. Alex Smith really comes out of nowhere, plays well for your football team down the stretch. Assess the quarterback situation.
Well, I'm very excited about Alex Smith. I'm excited about his opportunity to, for the first time in his five-year career, to have the same coordinator going into the next season. So you're going to have a complete off season with the same coordinator. You're going to have a lot of the terms and terminology and everything else implemented and carry over into the next season. I think that's going to be big for him.
Also having Michael Crabtree in the fold this off season. Talk about the strides that you expect him to make this off season.
Well, you know, he's gonna make great strides. Last year, what he did was just phenomenal. Being able to come in, a lot of people don't talk about it, but that's a very difficult thing to do, to just come in and after maybe four or five games of the regular season with no training camp, no nothing, and you know, you start your first game and just go down the rest of the schedule and do a great job. So very excited for him. Very excited for Vernon to continue to make strides. He had a nice year this year. And, you know, our other receivers, Josh Morgan, he's going to continue to grow, and our offensive line is going to continue to gel, and we'll get a little better there. So, of course, you know, add Frank Gore to the mix, and you got some very interesting. So I'm excited at, you know, what we have. I'm excited about what the possibilities are going forward, and, you know, we just have to do a good job of making sure that we continue to build and put the right pieces in place and to get to the next level.
Coach, when you look at these two teams, the New Orleans Saints and the Indianapolis Colts, what do you see in those organizations or those teams that you could take from and kind of put onto your team or say, look, this is the way we want to do things? What do you see in those two teams?
Well, I think the number one thing is consistency. Consistency in terms of, you know, you look at the coordinator situation, you look at the quarterback coaches, you know, both those quarterbacks, around them is consistency. And, whenever you have that, you put, great potential, great talent, with consistency, and you got a chance to have something special. And so that's the number one thing that jumps out at me.
All right, Coach, I'm going to play a few of these drops that we have for you. Let me grade these for me. We've got like four of them, okay, before we let you go.
All right,
here we go.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
All right, great. How about that one?
Well, you know, that's what football is all about, and to me, that's what the 49ers are going to be all about. We're just going to continue to go out and play the game the way it was supposed to be played.
I'm going to say this about that.
We use that one almost daily.
Well, that's an interesting. I can't remember exactly what was said after that, but
it had to be. It was probably on a Tuesday in the media awards, because that's always a coach's favorite day, right? Meeting the media on Monday.
Oh yeah.
All right, here we go. What else we got, Pod?
This is Jay Soderberg, Coach, the producer. You said this in the exact same press conference, which is what I found most enjoyable about it.
One thing I'll say about that is this.
So you just flip-flop this and that.
Hey.
It showed some creativity there. I was impressed. And of course, we played this for you right off the bat.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Absolutely, and that's something, I guess, Coach, that's the one thing more important than anything. Guys you bring in have to believe in that philosophy.
Absolutely.
All right, that's head coach Mike Singletary, San Francisco 49ers. Coach, thanks for joining us today at ESPN Football Today. Enjoy your time down in Miami.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Welcome. Mailbox number, please.
Your emails with your questions.
Computer, any messages for me?
The Audibles.
First message.
Football Today at ESPNradio.com. Keep filling up that mailbag. The Audibles will be here tomorrow. And Jake probably will work some. If you send some in on the game, we'll probably work them into the Friday mix with M-Dub.
Yeah, we could probably work them in on Friday.
We're previewing one game, so we can probably work a few in.
Definitely, especially if they're game-related.
Absolutely.
Tim here says he spoke to you on Facebook last night. He said that you would give a shout-out to the Longboro Aces if I emailed.
Yeah.
We are a university team in the UK, and we have a big game on Sunday. And since you gave a shout-out to the York Senators earlier in the season, I thought we deserved one. Keep up the good work. I look forward with hope and anticipation to today's show.
Lowboro?
Looks like Lowboro.
Lowboro? All right. I'm giving a shout-out to the Lowboro Aces. Good luck this weekend. They've got a big game on Sunday. Hey, there's another big game on Sunday.
The bigger game on Sunday. I need to tell you, Tim. Bigger game on Sunday. But I use this, one, to promote both of our Facebook pages. Jeremy Green now on there. Pod Vader on there. But two, you are opening up a can of worms here. You do now realize that everyone and their mom is going to ask you for a shout-out on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because they ask me constantly.
But you know what? He mentioned the York Senators, and I gave a shout-out before, and you know.
So you're going with equal time? Is that your
absolutely?
That your theory?
And by the way, you know, if you want to rip me, don't rip me on my Facebook page. You know.
yeah, save it for Pod Vader's page.
Yeah, exactly.
Go rip Jeremy on Pod.
Go rip Pod. You know.
That's pretty funny.
Jeez.
We mentioned earlier this week about Kurt Warner being a Hall of Famer, so I figured I'd throw in a couple of emails here about that. And we start with one of our favorites here, Tony Constantini from San Diego. Talking about Kurt Warner as a Hall of Famer, he says, there's no doubt in my mind that he is one. He has two league MVPs, a Super Bowl MVP, and the three highest passing yard totals in Super Bowl history in his three Super Bowl appearances. Aside from performance on the field is what Kurt Warner meant to the teams he played for. For successful teams, quarterback is automatically looked at as the leader of the offense and a leader of the team. This is true of all great teams in the history of the NFL-AFL. The toughest thing to do in any business is to change the culture, and this is especially true when a culture has a history of losing. Here's a rundown of Kurt Warner's contribution to the culture for historically losing organizations. With the Rams, before Warner, the Rams were the worst team of the 90s. The once proud franchise was down in the dumps. During Warner's time there, in the last year of the decade when the Rams were named the worst team of the decade, Kurt Warner was the quarterback of the team that won the Super Bowl. After Warner, well, look at their current draft position.
With the first pick in the NFL draft, the St. Louis Rams select...
With the Cardinals before Warner, Tony says, I'm 38 years old, not quite a man, he's not 40, and Cardinals have always been a joke during my lifetime. They won one playoff game in 50 years before Warner. During Warner's time frame, I thought I would never hear or never say Arizona Cardinals and Super Bowl in the same sentence. That alone should put Warner over the top for the Hall of Fame. After Warner, time will tell, but I don't like what I see at the quarterback position currently with the Arizona Cardinals. I know some of the talking heads in the media will bring up Warner's bad year with the Giants and say Warner did not perform well long enough to earn Hall of Fame consideration. That's just crazy. In my opinion, it's more important to perform when it matters than to have a season after season of gaudy statistics. Playoff football is when play on the field matters most. Kurt Warner has always come to play when it mattered most. As a measuring stick, I'm a Chargers fan, and one of my favorite players of all time is Dan Fouts. Fouts is in the Hall of Fame. Was the career of Dan Fouts more impressive than that of Kurt Warner? I don't think it was, especially when you consider the accomplishments Warner has had in the playoffs. No slight on Fouts, because I think he's a Hall of Famer. In my opinion, if Fouts is a Hall of Famer, then why wouldn't Kurt Warner be one too?
From Tony Constantini. I'm in. I'm sold. I mean, again, there's going to be a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of debate. I'm sold. Two league MVP, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl with two different franchises, took two really struggling franchises and turned the programs around. And to me, it doesn't, even though I think he's a great guy, he's a great person, he does great things off the field, that really shouldn't play into or factor into it. It's all about what you do on the field. And I think when you look at his on the field numbers, his on the field stats, the two league MVPs. Honestly, he could still play.
Yeah. Well,
he could put up another 3,700 next year.
Well, here's Kyle in Fairbanks, Alaska, who does cite the statistics as to why he's not a Hall of Famer. When he was on his game, he was as good as anyone else in the league, but besides a few years in St. Louis and the last 2 years in Arizona, he's been mediocre at best. You know, 99 was a great year for him. 2000, 21 touchdowns, 18 picks. Even 2001, when they went to the Super Bowl, or would this technically be the year after? No, this is a Super Bowl year. 36 touchdowns, 22 interceptions. That would be the Super Bowl they lost to the Patriots. And then 2002, he was hurt. 2003, he was hurt. 2004 was the year with the Giants, which was really not good, as Raheem Morris would say.
And that's just not very good.
His first 2 years with Arizona were
split
stumbles.
Split time, though.
And in 2007, was a little bit better. And yes, clearly 2008 and 2009 were great years for him. As a matter of fact, I think 2008 is his career year. Compared to 2001, I mean, he had less interceptions than 2001.
1999, yeah, close to 99, real similar.
Oh, 99 might be a career.
Real similar to 99.
So anyway, To me, according to Kyle, these are not Hall of Fame numbers. As I've said, besides the last 2-3 years in Arizona, he's been mediocre at best. On top of that, he struggled without having a top-notch receiving core. Holt and Bruce in St. Louis, Fitz and Bolden in Arizona, played in wide-open offenses for much of his career. I love Kurt as a player and as a person, but I just don't think his numbers warrant a place in the Hall of Fame. People point out his playoff numbers, which are amazing, but those are with wide-open offenses, amazing receiving cores, and he didn't put up the same numbers outside of those systems and without those receivers.
Well, I do definitely think we have to take systems out of it, especially like Art Monk finally got in. He played on a running team. I mean, he played with Joe Gibbs and the Hawks. So I mean, receivers' numbers are going to be so out of proportion to what they were. Quarterbacks' numbers are going to be so out of proportion to some of the earlier guys. I think once we got to like Fouts and Marino, those guys slung it around Elway.
Well, that's the thing. How do you compare eras?
Like, it's hard.
Like you bring up Fouts even. Fouts played in a different era of football.
It's hard.
So it's like, can you really compare Kurt Warner to Dan Fouts even?
I'm gonna say one thing though. And this is
one thing I'll say about that is this.
All right, you could do that too. 2002 to 2006, there's mediocrity.
A lot of it.
And really, when you talk Hall of Fame and you look at guys' careers, I don't think you're going to see that from some of the... I need to look at some of the Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Even the more recent guys. I don't think you're going to see a four-year stretch of that.
Right.
Interesting. I might be changing my mind right here on this podcast.
Ooh. Job,
Luckily,
Kyle.
I don't have to make that decision today.
Good job, Kyle. This one comes to us from Mike, and it's not... Mike, our Panthers superfan, does ask, though, about Julius Peppers and the report that he will not be returning to the Panthers. Why would the Panthers want to get rid of their best player? I understand that there are major financial implications when deciding to keep a player of Peppers' caliber, but why wouldn't a team keep him in order to trade him, even if they let him go for less than he is worth? Can't they franchise him and then trade him for a second or third rounder if they wanted to? Surely a player like Peppers is worth something.
Well, they could franchise him again.
Which would not make Peppers very happy.
Which would not make him happy, and they could try to move him. And I agree, you could probably move him for less. All that would be contingent because nobody's going to take on his franchise tag number. So if you trade him, it'd be contingent on him and that team getting a long-term deal done.
Because that's and I think the rule is, too, if you franchise him, can you trade him for less than a one?
Because
the franchise tag, you get like a 1 and a 3, I believe.
Well, I don't. The tender in the past was that it was a 1 and a 3. When Clayton was just here and he was explaining how it might work, he was talking about all the guys that are going to be like Jason Campbell's going to be a 1 and a 3.
Right. But that's the thing. Like, I don't think you can franchise Peppers. Like, you have to sign and then trade him. You can't franchise and trade him.
We've had guys that were franchise traded in the past.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
For less than the one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I don't know about that, because you put the franchise tag on the guy. I mean, he should be worth at least the first-round pick.
Right.
So I can't say that for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, so why would the Panthers want to get rid of Peppers, besides the fact that he's not happy there?
I think from the whole thing, of the whole standpoint of what happened last year with the blow-up of them franchising him and wanting to basically trade him, and I don't think he's happy there. I don't know where this team thinks they are right now exactly. It's hard for me to get a feel if they think they're a playoff team or they don't think they're a playoff, because they've got questions at the quarterback position. They're pretty solid in the running game. They're okay defensively. I mean, I think basically they feel like they can't franchise him. They've got to sign him to a long-term deal. And I think they feel like he may be starting to break down a little bit. He was a little bit beat up this year. Maybe they feel like, you know, it's not a good investment long-term for a guy like Julius Peppers.
Yeah, with the running game that they have there, what about Michael Vick in Carolina?
Could be.
Trade Peppers for Michael Vick.
Okay. So now you're out of
Well, if you're going to just let him go.
Okay.
You get a quarterback that could run behind that line with two running backs
yards. Are we convinced Jake DeLome still not starting in Carolina? I hope not, but I don't know.
I'm just saying. I don't think it's a bad fit. Ed in Canada. We mentioned Steven Jackson about how he's trapped on a bad team. Do you think, A, there's a team out there willing to trade multiple picks for him, and B, the Rams would take such an offer?
I don't even know if the Rams would take an offer because, I mean, he is about the only featured player that they have on that football team right now.
But if you were going to get a Herschel Walker trade?
I don't know that anybody would make that deal, but I think a team would give a one for him. I think somebody would say he could be our franchise back. I think the Houston Texans could give a one for Steven Jackson. If you talk about what's missing, what could go with Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub? How good would Steven Jackson look in a Texans uni? I'd even put my stamp of approval on a playoff team. I don't think they move him, though. He's one of the only featured players that they have. You got to build around something.
Right. And our final one comes to us here from Colin, who claims to be a Houston Texans super fan, more qualified than Mad Mike.
Whoa.
I'm a season ticket holder of the Texans. All right, that's a push with Mad Mike. I also been to Texans training camp the past two seasons. I think Mad Mike's been to more. Not on the outskirts in the stands with the rest of the fans, but on the field with the press, as I was able to get interviews with players and coaches for my sports blog. I write a multi-sports blog called SportsEyes.com. I eat, breathe, and sleep football to the point that my girlfriend doesn't like being around me on Sundays. Well, who here listening to this podcast has that? Besides Travis, our Saints superfan, who's kicking his girlfriend to the curb.
I want to know if she's going to the Super Bowl or not. I want to know what's up.
Superfan's here tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah, good. We'll find out.
To answer your question from Tuesday, does Gary Kubiak deserve a contract extension? I would say out to 2011 so he doesn't coach lame duck next year. Having said that, the Texans' goals on the season were to ascend to the next level, winning one more game than last year and the year before, and still not reaching the playoffs is hardly that. At minimum, he should be on the hot seat for next season if Houston fails yet again to make the playoffs. I would say, though, if they just gave him a new deal, he's not on the hot seat next season unless they really fail.
2 years left on his 2 years left on a deal, though. I mean, we've seen guys released with.
Yeah,
with
but
that.
It's a brand new deal.
It is, but it takes eliminates. It's not three on top of one. So I mean, is he on? I don't want to say that he's on the hot seat. Will fire Gary Kubiak chance come up if they don't make the playoffs again? Absolutely. I mean, I think they'll come up from the Texans fans, and I think they'll come up in the national media. But I don't want to say a guy that just got an extension is necessarily on the hot seat going into the year.
Right. He says, yes, JJ, I had some Dunkin' Donuts this morning.
Yeah! Good man.
So clearly he doesn't live in Houston.
Yeah, he's exactly right. Says it's pretty tough to find. That is going to do it for ESPN Football Today, presented by Dove. I don't know, Pod, was Coach fired up?
Fired up.
I think he might have been Jim Mora fired up.
Yeah, a little bit.
He wasn't Obama fired up.
Are you fired up?
He wasn't Pete Carroll fired up.
I am so fired up.
Although Pete Carroll, you know.
I am so fired up.
Not exactly all that
I don't know that
up.
He was trying to raise some hell in February.
No, certainly not.
We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Unleash some hell. But you know what? He was a good sport. He let us play all the drops.
He did.
For him. And talked about them. And graded them. And was pretty open and candid about their quarterback situation and what they're looking for and where they're going in the future. And I think, let's just put it like this. Is there a division more wide open than the NFC West? Kurt Warner just retired. I mean, we're talking the Rams. Seattle, I don't know what's going on. They got a new coach. I don't know. Hasselbeck.
I am so fired up.
Yeah.
Arizona,
I mean, he
Matt
said it.
Leiner,
he
I mean,
said it. He's excited. He's excited for his team.
Can't be a division more wide open than the NFC West right now. So, and I think Coach Singletary's doing a great job with that San Francisco team. I want to say thanks to you, Pod, for putting together the quick slants today. Also, a little tail of the tape. Shockey Dallas Clark. Tail of the tape tomorrow. What are we doing? Safeties. Darren Sharper, yeah. Antoine Bethea. Now, there's a guy that might be my X Factor, Darren Sharper. That'll be interesting. We'll see about that. That's tomorrow. Also,
3-point stance tomorrow.
3-point stance. Len Pasquarelli will be here to help
Len
us through the quick
slant. Dwight Clark.
We go way back.
Yeah.
Dwight and I worked together. I used to carry Dwight's pads off the field in San Francisco when I was a kid.
And then the super fans.
When I was growing up at training camp, you say, here, take these in. Say, oh, whatever you need, Mr. Clark. And then I worked for Dwight in Cleveland, so it'll be fun to have him on. Also, so tomorrow we've got Superfans.
Superfans as well.
Dwight Clark.
Dwight Clark.
Len Pasquarelli.
Len Pasquarelli.
It's a full day tomorrow here at
tail
ESPN.
Tail of the tape on the safety.
Tail of the tape on the safety. We might have to throw out. Okay, we'll make the tail of the tape quick. Everyone have a great Wednesday. Thanks for coming out and hitting people in the mouth.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
That's going to do it for a Hump Day Wednesday. We're out of here. See ya.
The music provided on today's show is from Mevio's Music Alley, Will Christie's Metal Mayhem, and Next Time Around by Asymmetry. Check it out at music.mevio.com. Thank you for listening to ESPN Football Today. For more football talk, be sure to tune in Monday through Friday for Football Tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern and replayed at 11 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and online at ESPNRadio.com.